إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. Bi idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue with the explanation, the brief explanation of the essay dealing with al-Iman, the essay of Shaykh Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah, entitled At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li-Shajratul Iman, the clarification an explanation of the tree of faith, the tree of Iman, that is in the heart of every mu'min. And we have, before this evening, we have preceded with a number of topics or a number of hadith and ayats of the Quran from the first section or chapter of this essay, dealing with the definition and explanation of al-Iman. What is the definition of al-Iman and its explanation through the ayat of the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The evidences that we want to mention this evening likewise are both from the authentic sunnah as well as from the book of Allah, al-Quran. And the first of those evidences, and these are in line with the chapter under discussion, the definition of Iman and its explanation. The first evidence, it is dealing with al-Iman wal-Istiqamah. Al-Iman wal-Istiqamah. Al-Iman and Istiqamah, the meaning of this title, it is to make us to know that Iman is not limited to that which is in the heart, but after that which is in the heart, there must be actions. There must be movement and action and deeds that are in accordance with that Iman. Yani going on the straight path, being upright, acting in accordance with that which Allah has revealed in the Quran and Sunnah. So the Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah, he mentions here in line with this chapter of explaining al-Iman, وَفِي صَحِي مُسْلِمْ مِنْ حَدِيثِ سُفْيَانِ بْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الثَّقَفِي رضي الله عنه. And it is reported in the Sahih of Muslim from the hadith of Sufyan ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله قل لي في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحدا بعدك. He said, O Messenger of Allah, say to me or inform me about something in Islam which I will have no need to ask about it. I will have no need to ask anyone about it after you. قُلْ لِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَوْلًا. Say to me something in Islam that after you have said it to me, I will not have any need of anyone else to ask about this matter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him, say, I believe in Allah. Say, I believe in Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Then be upright, straight. Yani be in accordance with that which you claimed by your speech. That which you claim is in your heart, then act in accordance with it. قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. Say, I believe in Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Then be upright and straight and act in accordance with that Iman in Allah. The Shaykh says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has explained in this wasiyya jami'a, al-wasiyya al-jami'a, this comprehensive advice. In this comprehensive advice, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has explained that the servant of Allah, if he confesses to a man outwardly and inwardly, if he confesses that he believes in Allah, outwardly saying it and inwardly having it in his heart, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامَ عَلَيْهِ, and then he travels on that way, and he acts in accordance with that. His actions are in accordance with that which he claims is in his heart and he professes on his tongue. If he acts in accordance with that, he said, قَوْلًا وَعَمَلًا, by his speech and by his actions, فِعْلًا وَتَرْكًا, by what he does and that which he leaves, yani the fulfilling the obligatory things and avoiding the prohibited things. If a person does that, confesses to a man in this way, فَقَدْ كَمُلَ أَمْرُهُ وَاسْتَقَامَ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, then such a person, his matter or his affair or his deen, it would have been completed and it would have been perfected and he will be traveling on the straight path. Yani the one who confesses that he has iman and then he acts in accordance with that, that is the completion of the matter. That is what is required, to have iman and then to act in accordance with that iman. Then the Shaykh said, it is hoped that he will be from amongst those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them in Surah Al-Fussalat, chapter 41, verse 30 through 32. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, yani, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ, verily those who say that our Lord is Allah, yani it is the first part of what is required, the statement, saying openly, confessing that Allah is our Lord. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, and then they acted in accordance with that. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا يَتَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ. Then the angels would descend upon them and they would say to them, لَا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, don't fear from that which is ahead of you, yani meaning the judgment. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, and don't have grief, don't grieve over that which you have left behind. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ, but take the good news or the glad tidings of the Jannah which you have been promised. Yani it is the promise of Jannah for the one who says that he has iman, believing in Allah, and then he acts in accordance with that. The one who has iman, and then the manifestation of that iman in actions. To the end of those ayats in which it is mentioned that the angels will say to them that we are your awliya in this world and in the next life, and you will have whatever you desire, and you will have whatever you request as a reward or an entertainment from the one who is forgiving and merciful. Concerning this matter of iman and istiqamah, Al-Imam Fakhruddin Razi, in his discussion of a similar ayat in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the believers to be upright, as they have been commanded, he said, Al-Istiqamah, Istiqamat al-Ma'amur, Sa'abun Shadeed. The one who has been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be upright, he said, being upright, it is something which is extremely difficult. For indeed, it includes Al-Qa'id, Wal-A'mal, Wal-Akhlaq. Al-Istiqamah, it includes Al-Aqa'id, beliefs, believing, as well as al-akhlaq, yani character, and as well as al-amal, yani deeds, the acts of worship that one is required to do. As for al-istiqamah in al-aqa'id, in the aqidah, the istiqamah in aqidah, he said, it is avoiding al-tashbih wa ta'til, avoiding deviation in the aqidah. And here he mentioned an example of the deviation, and it is not limited to this, but it is deviation in asma wa sifat. That a person avoid making tashbih, comparing the attributes or the characteristics of Allah to the creatures. And a ta'atil, emptying the meaning from the sifat of Allah. Yani, affirming that Allah is, for example, he has izzah, he has power, but without its meaning. Emptying the meaning so that it doesn't have any reality. He said that avoiding these things, it is the istiqamah in aqidah, meaning avoiding deviation in one's beliefs. As for the istiqam in al-a'mal, in actions, he said, it is protecting oneself from at-taghyir wa at-tabdil. Protecting one's actions from taghyir, changing them, or tabdil, yani exchanging something that is established in the sharia for something else. Changing anything in the deeds or the actions of the worship of the deen, or exchanging them for something else, this is, yani avoiding this, it is the istiqama in al-amal, avoiding deviation, avoiding innovation, avoiding changing anything in the deen of Allah. As for in the akhlaq, he said, it is being far removed from both extremes, the extreme of al-ifrat and the extreme of al-tafreet, yani avoiding extremes in one's character of going beyond the bounds or falling short. But what is required is that a person should be moderate within that which Allah has legislated according to the example of the Prophet ﷺ. So he has made it clear that al-istiqamah, it is not an easy matter because it requires the person to follow a path that is designed and legislated and fixed in beliefs as well as in worship as well as in one's character. A Muslim is not only required to worship Allah properly, but we are also required to have the character, that is the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in dealing with others. The second evidence that he has mentioned from what we will discuss this evening, and it is the 17th evidence that he has mentioned in this introduction, it is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma al-muttafiq alayhi, that is agreed upon as being authentic by both al-Bukhari and Muslim. And it is the hadith of Wafd Abdul Qais, the delegation of Abdul Qais. When they came as a delegation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, command us with a matter that is decisive, something that is clear, something that there is no doubt about. Give us a command and something that is decisive. نُخْبِرُ بِهِ مَنْ وَرَاءَنَا وَنَدْخُلُ بِهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Something that we will pass on to those who we have left behind when we return to our people. Give us something that we will transmit or convey to them, and something through it we will enter the Jannah. Through it we will enter the Jannah. So they asked him about drinks, and he ordered them with four things, and he prohibited them from four things. The narrator of the hadith says, أَمَرَهُمْ بِالْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ, that the Prophet ﷺ ordered them to have iman in Allah alone. Of the things that he ordered them with, he ordered them to have iman in Allah alone. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ, or in some of the narrations, هَلْ تَدْرُونَ مَا الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ, do you know what is iman, having iman in Allah alone? The Prophet ﷺ ordered them with this thing, and he questioned them to be sure that they know what he means by it, because it is of utmost importance that they understand what is this iman. They said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and His Messenger knows best. And it's not that necessarily they didn't know, but they want to know what Allah has said, what the Prophet ﷺ has said, to be sure, because the matter is of such importance. The Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, he defined to them what is iman. What is iman in Allah alone? He said, shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. That iman in Allah alone, it is to testify that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad ﷺ is his servant and his messenger. And he didn't stop there, but he went on to keep defining what is iman. Wa iqamu salat wa ita'u zakat wa sawmu ramadan. وَأَن تُؤَدُّوا الْخُمُسًا أَوْ تُؤَدُّوا خُمُسًا مِنَ الْمَغْنَمِ. That this iman, it is to testify that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad ﷺ is His servant and His messenger. And also, part of iman is the establishment of the salat, and the payment of zakat, and the fasting of Ramadan, and the delivering of the khumus, the fifth, from the spoils of war, that have been taken as spoils of war. And then to the end of the hadith, he said, and he prohibited them from four things, and he mentioned those things which are the containers, or the wine, or the alcohol, the khamr that was kept in particular type of containers. He prohibited them from that, and he said to them, احفظوه وأخبروه أو وأخبروا به من وراءكم, and in some of the narrations of Bukhari, من وراءكم. And the meaning is the same. He said, memorize it, preserve what I have given to you, and inform or convey it to those who are left behind. Yani deliver it to them, that which you have been told. This hadith is, as the Shaykh said, sarihun. It is clear, crystal clear, in that it includes the outward actions of the Sharia as a part of Iman, like the Salat and the Zakat and the Siyam and the giving of the Khumus from the spoils of war. He said that all of this has been explained for us to be Iman. It has been explained that all of this is Iman. And this tafsir, this explanation, is the explanation of the Prophet ﷺ, which doesn't leave any doubt after it. It becomes crystal clear. And it is clear from this that just as al-aqa'id al-qalbiyya, the creed or the belief or the tenets that are in the heart, just as this is a part of Iman, likewise the actions of the body parts, al-a'mal al-badaniyya, are also part of Iman. In fact, everything that causes someone to get near to Allah, whether it is speech or actions or belief or conviction, all of it is part of al-Iman. Then the Shaykh mentioned the next evidence, وَفِي السُّنِنْ أَبِي دَاوُدِ عَنْ أَبِي أُمَامَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. That whoever loves, whatever and whomever they love, whoever loves for the sake of Allah, for Allah's pleasure, purely for the sake of Allah, with ikhlas, من أحب لله, whoever loves for the sake of Allah, وأبغض لله, and hates for the sake of Allah, whomever and whatever one hates, it is for Allah alone. And whoever gives for the sake of Allah, whatever they give, and whoever withholds, don't give, whoever withholds for the sake of Allah, then that person has completed and perfected al-Iman. The Shaykh says that al-hub wal-bughd, these two things, love and hatred, it is from the heart, from the inward things. And al-ata wal-man' giving and holding back, fil-zahir, they are from the outward things, the actions that are seen. So from this clear that both the actions of the heart as well as the actions of the body parts are required for the perfection of al-Iman, for the perfection of Iman. Whoever doesn't have some part of it, then the Iman would not be complete, it would not be perfect. Then the Shaykh says, and he has made as a condition in all of this, al-Ikhlas. That all of these things that are done for the sake of Allah, they have to be done with Ikhlas. That ikhlas which is the spirit of Iman, and it is the core and the essence of Iman. Then the Shaykh explains these matters. He said, loving for the sake of Allah. It is to love Allah, and to love whatever Allah loves, of actions, or times, or seasons, or conditions, whatever we love, loving Allah and loving everything else for the sake of Allah. And also, loving whomever one loves from amongst his prophets or his followers. Loving them because they are the prophets of Allah, because they are the followers who follow the way of Allah and so on. Then he said, al-bughd fillah, hatred for the sake of Allah. It is hating everything that Allah hates. Whether it is kufr, disbelief, or fusuq, disobedience, or isyan, any corruption or disobedience. Whatever Allah hates, hating for the sake of Allah, and hating whoever is described with those descriptions that Allah hates, whether it is disbelief, or whether it is immorality and corruption, or whether it is sin and disobedience, hating whoever is described with that which Allah hates, and hating whoever calls to that. Whoever acts in the way that Allah hates, and whoever calls to what Allah hates, hating them for the sake of Allah. Has nothing to do with nationality, or family, or the people who we like for whatever reason, but we love whatever and whomever we love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah. As for giving, he said it includes whatever the person gives, self, of whatever Allah has ordered. That means whether it is wealth or otherwise, whatever we give, we should give for the sake of Allah. And this is similar to the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Layl, verses 5 through 7. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. That whoever gives and has taqwa, and whoever gives and gives with taqwa, fearing Allah and hoping for the reward of Allah, and testifies to the husna, yani to that which is good, to that which has come in the sharia of Allah, to the jannah, the promise of Allah's reward for those who give in His way, then Allah makes easy for them their way. He makes easy for them the doing of that which is good. And he said this includes all of what Allah has ordered His servants with. And it is not limited to wealth. But wealth is only a part of what one gives for the sake of Allah. It is inclusive of everything that one gives, wealth and otherwise. And likewise, the opposite of that is holding back whatever one holds back for the sake of Allah. And he said these four things. It is from these four things, loving and hating and giving and holding back for the sake of Allah, it is from these four things that a person's iman and their deen is completed and perfected. One's iman and one's deen, it is perfected from these four matters. This hadith, as we said, it is reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawood, and it is likewise reported by Al-Imam Al-Baghawi in Sharh Sunnah, and Al-Imam Ahmed and Al-Tirmidhi and others have reported it. And the hadith, as some of the scholars have said, it is hasan, and some said it is sahih, and indeed it is an authentic hadith, as has been discussed in detail by Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, in his book, Silsila Al-Hadith Al-Sahiha. The next hadith that the Shaykh mentions, وَكَذَلِكَ مَا رَوَاهُ التِّرْمِذِي وَالنَّسَائِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا. Likewise, that which has been reported by Al-Imam Al-Tirmi, rahimahullah, and Al-Imam Al-Nasai, rahimahullah, from the hadith of Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, marfu'an, attributed to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that hadith, he has mentioned here, the Shaykh has mentioned a portion of the hadith in which the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, described who is the Muslim and who is the mu'min. And in this narration of the hadith, it is reported, as the Shaykh mentions here, المؤمن من أمنه الناس على دمائهم وأموالهم. المؤمن من أمنه الناس. The mu'min is the one whom the people put their trust in him. They feel safe with that one, the mu'min, in reference to or in regards to their dima, their blood, and their amwal, their wealth. Yani their lives and their wealth are entrusted with the mu'min. The people feel safe with the mu'min. They entrust their life and they entrust their wealth to the true mu'min. This hadith is reported also in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed and the Mustadrak of Al-Hakim and the Sahih of Ibn Hibban, and Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, declared it to be Sahih in Jami al-Saghir. The Shaykh says, rahimahullah, concerning this hadith, that these words, that the mu'min is the one whom the people put their trust in concerning their lives as well as their wealth, he said it indicates that al-iman al-sahih, the correct, authentic iman, not the claimed iman that is only on the tongue, but al-iman al-sahih, the true, correct iman, it causes or it motivates the one who has that iman to guard and to protect and to attend to al-amana. The true mu'min, the iman that he has, it causes him to give care to and to attend to whatever is entrusted to him, al-amana. The one who doesn't care for that which has been entrusted to him, that one doesn't have iman, because iman causes one to give attention to al-amana. And it prohibits, that iman prohibits the one who has it from al-khiyana, violation of trust. It stops them from doing so because they fear Allah, they believe in Allah, and they hope for Allah's reward in whatever they do. To such an extent, that iman encourages them to guard the trust and to avoid violation of trust. To such an extent that the people are at rest with them. The people are at peace and feel safe with that person entrusting to them the most precious and the most valuable of things that they have. And that is their lives and their wealth. The true believer is entrusted by the people with the best of what they have. And we might note here that indeed the true believer knows the trust that Allah has given to them, and they don't violate that trust. And they don't go out of the bounds of what Allah has allowed in His Sharia, even in reference to the lives of the disbelievers. If the disbelievers came under a covenant with the Muslims, or came into the Muslim land under a treaty or an agreement with the Muslims, then their life is protected by the Muslims, and the true believer doesn't violate that. The true believer does not violate that. Unlike what we see today in some of the Muslim lands, where those who are frustrated and those who are confused and don't understand Islam violate the rights of others who have been given protection by the Muslim society or the Muslim state or the Muslim leaders. And the Shaykh says that these texts that have been mentioned from the Sunnah, all of them make clear the meaning of al-Iman and the reality of Iman. What is really Iman? Is it merely just a conviction in the heart? Is it just a claim that one makes on the tongue, or is it more than that? Then he said, this is like the saying of al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, the great scholar of the Tabi'een, and others, he said, have said similarly, لَيْسَ الْإِيمَانِ بِالتَّمَنِّي وَالتَّحَلِّي وَلَكِنَّهُ مَا وَقَرَ فِي الْقُلُوبِ وَصَدَّقَتْهُ الْعَمَالِ. That Iman, it is not merely wishing and hoping. And you wish that you have Iman, and you hope that you have Iman, and you give the outer appearance of Iman. You wear the clothing of the believers. It is not that. But Iman is that which is settled and established in the hearts, and then actions testify to the truthfulness of that which one claims is in the heart. Iman is that which it is settled and established in the hearts, and one's actions testify to the truthfulness of that Iman. And this author, or this report or narration from Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, it is authenticated by some of the scholars, as it has been mentioned by Al-Imam Al-Khatib Al-Baghdadi and others. After that, the Shaykh mentions from the Quran two verses of the Quran dealing with this topic. He said that the outward actions as well as the inner actions testify to the truthfulness of Iman. And it is through these actions, outwardly and inwardly, that Al-Iman is realized. It is achieved. It is through that the actions of the heart as well as the actions of the body parts, the limbs of the body. Then he said, this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah At-Taghabun, chapter 64, verse 11, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. Yani in the beginning of this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about calamities. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. That no calamity befalls anyone, no disaster, no hardship or sickness or whatever one dislikes, no musiba befalls anyone, illa bi idhnillah, except that it is by the permission of Allah, by the qadr of Allah, by the qada of Allah. It cannot happen except by the mashiya of Allah, that Allah wills it, that Allah decreed it, and that Allah executed and brought it into being. So here, the Shaykh, he used this ayat in this topic, that no calamity befalls anyone except by the permission of Allah. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. So whoever believes in Allah, then Allah guides his heart. What does he mean, whoever believes in Allah? He said that the slave of Allah, if he is afflicted by a musibah, by a calamity or disaster, he said, if he is afflicted by a musibah, and then he believes, فَآمَنَ أَنَّهَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. He believes that it is from Allah. He is certain and he knows for sure that it is from Allah, and that Allah is Hakim, Rahim, fi taqdiriha, and that Allah is Hakim. It is by wisdom that He has caused this calamity to befall him. And that Allah is Rahim. He is merciful in what He has caused to befall us. Allah is Hakim and He is Rahim. When He decreed something, it is based on wisdom. It's not haphazard. And it is also in consideration of the rahmah of Allah. Don't think it is otherwise. Whoever, when a calamity befalls them, they believe and they know it is from Allah, and they know that Allah, His decree is based on hikmah, wisdom, and rahmah, mercy. And they know that Allah knows best what is in the interest of His slave. That one, he said, hadallahu qalbahu. Then Allah guides his heart. Then Allah guides his heart. A special guidance that that person achieves, ar-rida. He is pleased with what Allah has decreed. Was-sabr. And he is patient with what Allah has decreed. Wat-tasleem. And he submits to Allah's decree. Wat-tama'nina. And he is at peace. He is calm and tranquil with what Allah has decreed. The meaning of this ayat is that if anyone knows that no calamity befalls except by the permission of Allah, then whoever believes in Allah, Allah guides his heart. Then whoever believes that it is from Allah and that Allah's decree is based on wisdom and rahmah, and Allah knows what is best for His servants when He decreed that to befall one, if anyone takes that position, then Allah guides his heart such that he is pleased with Allah's decree. He is pleased with it and he submits to it and he accepts it and he is patient with it. And that is the special guidance that Allah gives to the one who has true iman, knowing that it is from the arkan of iman, that a person believes in the qadr of Allah, that whatever happens, it is from Allah. Therefore, one should be patient with it, and be pleased with it, and submit to it, and accept it. This is also like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus chapter 10 verse 9, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. That indeed those who believe and do good deeds, then Allah, their Lord, guides them, بِإِيمَانِهِمْ, guides them due to and through their iman. Whoever believes and does good deeds, then Allah gives them hidayah, He gives them guidance and He guides them due to their iman. Here the Shaykh said that he has deleted or he has removed that which is connected to what is mentioned in this ayat, يَهْدِيهِمْ. يَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى مَاذَا. What does he guide them to? He said that Allah has not mentioned what he guides them to, because it is all inclusive of what he guides. He guides them to everything that is good, and he guides them to leave everything that is evil. So he left it open so that it will be all inclusive. يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. يعني to everything that is good and away from everything that is evil. And that is due to their iman. Therefore the Shaykh, he says that the actions, the deeds that one does, it is min al-iman. It is a part of iman from one perspective. The actions that we do, it is part of iman from one perspective. And it is also thamaratul iman. And it is also the fruits of iman. وَلَوَازِمُهُ. And it is that which is essentially necessary for iman from another perspective. Yani from one way of looking at it, actions are part of iman. And from the other way of looking at it, actions are the fruit of iman, and that which is essentially necessary in order for iman to be present and in order for it to be complete and perfect. The next evidence that the Shaykh mentions, it is from the Quran, from Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 143, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَوْفٌ رَحِيمٌ. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. That indeed Allah, He would never cause your iman to be lost, to be wasted, to be fruitless. Allah doesn't do so. He would not cause the iman of the believers to be lost, to be wasted. Indeed, Allah, He is Ra'uf, Rahim. He is kind and He is merciful to the people. Here the Shaykh said that many of the scholars of tafsir have explained iman here that it means the salat to the qibla that the Muslims were praying to originally, Bayt al-Maqdis, before it was abrogated. Yani the Muslims, according to the authentic hadith, in the beginning, the Prophet ﷺ was ordered to pray towards Bayt al-Maqdis, towards Jerusalem, for 16 or 17 months. So here many of the scholars, in reference to this ayat, they said it was revealed in reference to that matter, that originally they were praying towards the Qibla of Jerusalem. And then after that, Allah allowed him to turn towards the Kaaba, towards Mecca. He says that many of the seer, they have explained this ayat, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ, that Allah wasn't going to cause your iman to be lost. That iman here, it means the salat that the people prayed towards the first Qibla before it was abrogated. And this has been revealed because some of the people from amongst the Muslims died before the Qibla was changed to the Kaaba, towards Mecca. Some of the Muslims died. And they died praying towards Jerusalem. They never prayed towards Mecca. So some of the people had some doubt about what would be the affair, what was the matter, what would be the condition or the situation of those people who died before they were praying towards the correct Qibla. What would be the condition of their ibadah and their salat? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat, that Allah would not cause the iman of the believers to be lost, meaning the salat that was performed towards Bayt al-Maqdis before the Qibla was changed towards the Kaaba. If we will look, we will see that Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, in his Sahih, he has given the chapter heading in the book of Iman. And if anybody wants to understand Iman from the books of Hadith, of the best of books of Hadith to read concerning Iman, it is the Sahih al-Bukhari. It is the most authentic of books of Hadith, and it is correct and straight in proving and enforcing the Aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah by evidences from the authentic Hadith. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he said in Kitab al-Iman, Bab as-salatu min al-Iman. The chapter heading, Salat is a part of Iman. Then he said, Al-Imam Bukhari, وَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the saying of Allah, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ, and Allah wasn't going to cause your Iman to be lost. يَعْنِي صَلَاتَكُمْ عِنْدَ الْبَيْتِ. يعني Al-Imam Bukhari, he said, he used this as a proof that Salat is a part of Iman. He said, chapter heading, Salat is a part of Iman. And then he mentioned the saying of Allah, that Allah was not going to cause your Iman to be lost. Meaning, Iman, meaning your Salat عند ال... يعني Salat at the Kaaba. And the scholars of Tafsir, or the scholars of Hadith, like Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani in his explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, concerning this chapter heading, he said there's some يعني confusion among some of the people. What does Imam Bukhari mean? As-salatukum عند البيت. And he said the meaning of it, it was when they were in Mecca and they were praying towards Jerusalem, the Prophet ﷺ, he used to pray with the Kaaba between him and Jerusalem. So that he was praying to Jerusalem, but he was facing the Kaaba, because he wanted to face the Kaaba. In any case, the point is that Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he wants to show that this ayat is a proof that salat, or the good deeds that one does, it can be called Iman, because indeed it is a part of Iman. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahimahullah, in his sharh of this hadith, he also said that this hadith, it is also a proof. This hadith contains many benefits. From amongst the benefits of this hadith is that it is a refutation of the murji'ah, those who claimed that Iman does not include actions. He said this hadith is a proof against the murji'ah in their rejection of the idea that A'mal al-Deen, the actions of Deen, can be called or named Iman. This hadith is a refutation of them, in that here Al-Imam al-Bukhari has made it clear that this statement in this ayat of the Quran, it is clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named as-salat, the salat that was performed before the changing of the Qibla to Bayt al-Maqdis, that he has called it al-Iman. Then the Shaykh closes this section mentioning two points. He said from this ayat, and it contains a number of points, from amongst them, he said, is the bishara, bishara kubra. It is يعني, a good news or a glad tidings, a major glad tiding. يعني, the believer is informed of something that makes him happy. Bishara kubra. And it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not cause the iman of the best to be lost. Allah does not cause the iman of the believers to be lost, whether it is a little bit or whether it is much. Yani if that iman was little or if it was much, Allah doesn't cause the iman of the believer to be lost. And this is as it has been reported in the Sahih, yani in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, أن الله يخرج من النار من في قلبه أدنى مثقال حبة خَرْدَلٍ مِّنْ إِيمَانٍ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remove from the fire anyone who has in his heart even the least amount of iman, that which is less than a mustard seed of iman. Even the one who has iman less than the amount of iman of a mustard seed. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remove such a person, even that one, he would remove them from the fire due to their iman, even if it was a little amount. And here the Shaykh is using this hadith as a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't let your iman go unrewarded, even if it is less than the amount of a mustard seed. And this is the bushra, or the bishara, kubra, that Allah doesn't allow the iman, whether it is the conviction in the heart, or whether it is the actions of the body parts, or otherwise, Allah doesn't cause the true iman of the believer to be lost. But it will be accounted for, and it will be rewarded, and a person will be saved from the fire who has died on tawheed, having iman in Allah alone. Then he said there's also the bishara, the good news, that everyone who does a deed and he intends by it, his intention, his qasd in doing that deed is obedience to Allah and to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said everyone who has done a deed in which he intends by that deed obedience to Allah and his Messenger, even if he is muta'awwal, yani muta'awwal, the one who made ta'wil, he gave some reinterpretation or explanation to it other than the real meaning of it. He mistakenly reinterpreted and gave a different meaning. Or he is mukhti, he has made a mistake in what he has done or what he has said. Or even if that which he has done has been abrogated later. He said that everyone who does something intending obedience to Allah and His Messenger, then he has, if he has done that deed having iman in Allah and intending obedience to Allah, but he has reinterpreted something and made a mistake in it. Or he has made a mistake without reinterpreting. Or he said, in whatever situation, he said that the mistake of the believer, it is pardoned. And the reward of his intention and his turning towards Allah to do an act of obedience to Allah, Allah would never cause it to be lost. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the believers, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَعْنَا, that the believers, they would make this dua, O our Lord, don't call us to account if we forget or make a mistake. If we forgot, we did something forgetfully, or we did something mistakenly. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said on the tongue of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it has been reported in the authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, قَدْ فَعَلْتُ, yani he has answered that supplication, that he would not call the believers to account for that which they have done due to forgetfulness or due to a mistake. Then he says, and this is the last of what we can mention, he says, and in the hadith, the sahih hadith, he said, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this way it has been reported in the book, إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْحَاكِمُ فَحَكَمَ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرَانَ وَإِذَا اجْتَهَدَ فَأَخْطَعَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ وَاحِدٌ وَقَطَعُهُ مَغْفُورٌ لَهُ. I mean, this is the way the Shaykh has mentioned the hadith, that if a person makes ijtihad, the hakim, the ruler, the one who is judging, if he makes ijtihad, and then he makes a ruling, and he is correct in his ruling, then he will get two rewards. And if he makes ijtihad, striving and seeking to get the correct opinion, but he makes a mistake, then he will get one reward, and his mistake will be pardoned or forgiven by Allah. The end of this hadith, that the mistake will be forgiven, it is correct in meaning, but it has not been narrated like that, with that wording. In fact, the actual wording that came in the Sahih al-Bukhari of this hadith, إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكَمُ, yani if the hakim makes a ruling, فَاجْتَهَدَ, then he strives to seek that which is correct and right, ثُمَّ أَصَابَ, and then he reaches the correct opinion, فَلَهُ أَجْرَانَ, then he will get two rewards. Yani one reward for his effort to seek the truth, and one reward because he has reached the correct opinion. وَإِذَا حَكَمَ فَاجْتَهَدَ, but if he makes a ruling and he strives to seek the correct opinion, ثُمَّ أَخْطَعَ, and then he errs, فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ, then he will get one reward. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, says, this is the way the hadith has actually been narrated, that if the hakim makes a ruling and then makes ijtihad, he said this is the actual wording of the hadith, that making the ruling has been mentioned before making ijtihad. But in fact, the opposite is what actually happens. Yani the wording of the hadith is like this, But the opposite is what really happens. For indeed, ijtihad, or striving to reach an opinion, has to come before making a ruling. Because it is agreed upon by the scholars of Islam that it is not permissible to make a ruling before seeking the correct opinion, before making ijtihad. However, what may be understood from this hadith by these words is that if the hakim makes a ruling, it means if he intends to make a ruling, when he intends to make a ruling, and then he strives to seek the correct opinion. If he is correct, then he gets two rewards, and one for striving to seek the truth and one for reaching the correct opinion. And if he errs, then he will get one reward. The reward for his striving sincerely for the sake of Allah to seek the truth, even though he has erred. And this end of the hadith makes clear the meaning of what the Shaykh has mentioned, that his mistake is forgiven, because in that hadith the Prophet ﷺ didn't say that the one who errs in his ruling, that he will be punished for it. He said, no, he will be rewarded for it. He will be rewarded. That means his mistake is forgiven. And not only his mistake is forgiven, but he is also rewarded for striving to seek the truth even though he has erred. Then the Shaykh says, likewise, whoever, yani from the bushra that Allah has given to us, or the Prophet ﷺ has given to us, he said, likewise, whoever intends to do a righteous deed, and he seeks after it, he is eager to do it, but he is prevented by something that prevents him, such as sickness. If he is prevented from that righteous deed which he eagerly seeks to perform, if he is prevented by something such as sickness, or traveling, or inability, or other than that, he said that it would be written for him what he has intended of good deeds. Whatever he has intended, it would be recorded for him as a good deed that he will get rewarded for. And this has been confirmed in the Sahih Hadith, he says in the Sahih of Muslim. However, that hadith actually is reported in Al-Bukhari min hadith Abi Musa Al-Ashari radiallahu anhu marfu'an, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here the wording of the hadith also, he gave, min marida aw safara kutiba lahu ma kana ya'mal sahihan muqiman. And the wording as it is in Bukhari, idha marida al-abdu aw safara kutiba lahu mithlu ma kana ya'malu muqiman sahihan. Yani that if a person becomes sick, or if he travels, and due to sickness, yani he's not able to do what he normally did of good deeds, and due to traveling and inconvenience of traveling, he's not able to do what he normally did of good deeds, he said, كُتِبَ لَهُ مِثْلُ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُ مُقِيمًا صَحِيحًا. Indeed, this is a bushra, bishara, that he will have written for him the likeness of what he used to do when he was muqim, resident, and what he used to do when he was sahih, when he was healthy. And if a person is prevented from doing good deeds that they normally used to do and they wanted to do due to sickness, they will get the reward just as for when they were well, even though they are not doing it now due to being prevented by sickness or traveling or some other thing. This is the end of what we want to mention this evening. We'll stop here and look at quickly the questions at the end of the handout, and then if there are any questions or comments or corrections, we'll take them. The first question: what was the Prophet ﷺ advice to the man who said, tell me something about Islam, such that I will have no need to ask anyone about it after you, and mentioning the corresponding ayat. The statement of the Prophet ﷺ, the advice to that man, he said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. The advice to him is that you should say, I believe in Allah, and then act in accordance with it. Then go straight on that which you believe in. And the ayat that is in accordance with this is in Surah Fussilat, chapter 41, verses 30 and 32, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Indeed, it is those who say, "Our Allah is our Lord," and then they are upright, and then they act in accordance with that the angels would descend upon them and tell them, don't fear nor grieve, but accept the good news of the Jannah which you have been promised. The second question: how has the author explained the two aspects of this wasiya jamia, this comprehensive advice? Yani in this statement of the Prophet ﷺ, he has given a great comprehensive advice which contains two parts. The first of it is that the servant of Allah, whenever he confesses and admits to having iman in Allah, inwardly and outwardly, yani in his heart as well as expressing it on the tongue, and then he acts in accordance with that, his speech and his actions, in doing what Allah has commanded and avoiding what he has prohibited, then indeed that person's affair, his deen and his iman, would be completed and perfected, and he would be on the straight path. The third question discussed Imam Fakhruddin Razi's explanation of al-istiqama. And he said, concerning an ayat similar to the ayat under discussion, that al-istiqama is something which is difficult because it includes the beliefs as well as the action character of the person. And he said that al-istiqama in aqeedah, it is to avoid the deviations in aqeedah. And he mentioned al-tashbih wa ta'atil, yani comparing the sifat, the characteristics of Allah, to His creatures, or emptying His characteristics of their meaning. Is that adhan? Tayyib. And he said that the istiqama in actions, in one's deeds, in ibadah, it is avoiding taghyir wa tabdeel, changing things or exchanging something in the deen for something that is not from it. And in the akhlaq or character, he said it is avoiding the two extremes, yani going beyond the bounds or falling short in that which is required. Question number four mentioned the shahid or the witness for the author's position that actions are a part of iman, yani from the hadith of the waft of Abdul Qais. Yani the shahid or the witness or the point in that hadith which supports the opinion of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that actions are part of iman. It is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ that he ordered them to have iman in Allah alone. And he asked them, do you know what is iman in Allah alone? And they said, Allah and His Messenger knows best. And he said, that iman, he has defined it as being the testimony that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad ﷺ is His servant and His messenger, and the performance of salat, and the paying of zakat, and the fasting of Ramadan, and the giving of the khumus, the fifth of the spoils of war. And this proves that actions, that ibadah, the salat, and the zakat, and so on, that they are part of iman according to the explanation of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Question number five discuss the shahid for the author's position that inner actions of the heart as well as outer actions of the limbs or the body parts are a part of iman from the hadith of Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, and that is the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that whoever loves for the sake of Allah and hates for the sake of Allah and gives and restrains from giving for the sake of Allah, then he has completed al-iman. And the shahid that inner actions as well as the outer actions are part of iman in this hadith is that al-hub wal-bughd, hatred and love, they are from the inner actions, the actions of the heart. And giving and restraining from giving, it is from the outer actions of the body parts. Question number six discussed al-mu'minu man aminahu al-nasu ala dima'im wa amwalihim, that the believer is the one whom the people trust their lives and their wealth with. They place trust in that one. This hadith, the important meaning that is contained in this hadith is that it indicates that true iman causes the believer to pay attention to fulfilling trust and avoiding violating trust. And this causes the people to trust that person and to feel safe with that person and trusting him with the most valuable of what they have, their lives as well as their wealth. Therefore, it is a part of iman to fulfill trust. Number seven mentioned the statement of Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, concerning al-Iman and al-Amal al-Salih, Iman and righteous deeds. He said that Iman, it is not just wishing and hoping or giving the outer appearance that you are a mu'min, but it is that which is in the heart, that which is settled and confirmed and established in the heart. And then the truthfulness of what is claimed to be in the heart, it is testified to by one's action which are in accordance with it. Question number eight, explain the ayah. And whoever believes in Allah, he guides his heart. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهِ. The meaning of this ayat is that the believer, when any affliction befalls him, and he knows and he believes and he is confident that it is from Allah, and that Allah has decreed this to happen by wisdom and based on His mercy, and Allah knows what is best for him. When a person takes that position that Allah guides his heart, He gives him the hidayah that allows him to be pleased with His decree and to be patient with it, and to submit and to surrender to it and to be at peace with it. Question number nine, and Allah would never make your iman to be lost. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. This ayat, how has the author used this verse as a dalil or an evidence for naming al-amal al-salih, good deeds, as al-iman? It is because the scholars of tafsir said that al-iman in this ayat, Allah has called something which is from the righteous deeds. It is the salat. He has named it and He has called it iman. The salat of those believers who prayed towards Al-Quds, towards Bayt al-Maqdis, in the early time of Islam, before the Qibla was changed, and they died in that condition, and some of the people were concerned what would be the condition of their worship, of their salat, And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse that Allah would not cause the good deeds of anyone to be lost, in this case the salat. And he named those good deeds al-iman, which is a proof that good deeds are called iman, and that indeed they are a part of iman, and that they are a necessary, essential part of iman. And whoever doesn't have it, then his iman will never be complete or perfect. The last question, what is the bishara, the good tidings which the author has derived from this ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 143? It is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never cause the iman of the believers, whether it is a small amount of iman or whether it is a great amount of iman, whether it is in the conviction in the heart or the speech on the tongue or the actions of the body parts, Allah would never cause the iman of the believer to be lost, as has been confirmed in the hadith which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that Allah would cause the person who has the least amount of iman, even that which is less than a mustard seed, to come out of the hellfire due to that iman, which shows that that iman would not be lost, but it would be accredited to that person. It would help them in the time when they were most in need. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there are any questions, we can take questions for a few moments. If there's any comments or any corrections from the brothers or from the sisters. Naam. Somebody has asked a question. Naam. How can you distinguish between aqidah and iman? Aqidah, it is generally used to refer to that which one believes in, the convictions that one is required to hold, that is in the heart, the things that a Muslim is required to believe, and it is referred to as aqidah. And it also refers to everything that the believer is required to believe in general, it also refers to that. So there's a similarity between the two expressions, and the scholars of Sunnah interchangeably. However, if they are used together, then iman, it refers to the overall, everything. Yani the beliefs, the convictions, as well as the actions. While aqidah, it is limited in that case to what the creed, or what one is required to believe in the heart. Yani aqidah, it is generally, more specifically used for the beliefs that one is required to have a conviction in. While iman, it is more comprehensive. It includes the creed, as well as the actions, and all of the deen, as Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di has said. Naam? The question, if a person makes ta'wil, if the sisters just hold your question until I finish this answer, then I'll take the question, inshallah. The brother asks about a wrong ta'wil. Yani somebody reinterprets something. They intend to do something in obedience to Allah, but they interpreted wrong. They misunderstood. He said that this includes bid'ah. Well, there's difference of opinion about this matter. However, it has been reported that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, in his book, Iqtidar Sirat al-Mustaqim, he has said in that book that Allah might, in some cases, he was talking about bid'ah, and the bid'ah, the innovations of the people of innovation, specifically the celebrating of the Prophet's birthday, he said that Allah might reward the person who engages in that innovation ignorantly, out of ignorance, for their sincere intention. He might reward them for their sincere intention, but he will not reward them for their action. Yani he will not reward them for the innovation that they have engaged in, but he might, he said, yani qad, perhaps he might reward them for their sincere intentions. Therefore, some of the scholars held the opinion of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah held, that in some cases it is possible that Allah might reward a person's intention even when they have acted wrongly. And that is what the Shaykh is hinting at here, that even those who reinterpreted and made wrong interpretation, that Allah might reward them for their intention, for their qasd li ta'atillah. He said, whoever's qasd, it is for ta'atillah, then he might reward them for the intention, not for the action which they have done wrongly. And as I said, there's difference of opinion about it. In any case, that is the opinion of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and other scholars also have followed him in that opinion. And of course, to be safe, one should not expect and not hope, especially since he hasn't said definitely. One should not expect or hope that they would be rewarded for that which they have done in deviation from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One should not expect that. However, Allah, he can reward a person's sincere intention. Allah knows what's in the hearts, and he can reward whomever he wills. It is not for us to limit Allah's rahmah and His يعني, reward for the people. Wallahu a'lam. Naam. 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 طيب. As this is asked about the hadith in which it is reported from Abu Hurairah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the mu'min is the one whom the people feel safe in reference to their wealth and their property. Inshallah, we'll complete the answer after the adhan. Allahu Akbar. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The question of the sisters in reference to one of the hadith which we mentioned, and the shaykh in the text of the book, he has mentioned a portion of the hadith, that the mu'min is the one, من أمنه الناس على دمائهم وأموالهم. That hadith, in the text, in our notebook, it is given in full. And the beginning of the hadith mentions the Muslim. Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Yani in that hadith, it has been mentioned in the beginning of it, that the Muslim is the one whom the Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hand. And he doesn't harm the Muslims with his tongue by speaking ill against them, nor does he harm them with his hands by doing harm to them. The Prophet ﷺ in that hadith has described the Muslim as being that one, whom the Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hand. And we didn't mention it because the Shaykh has mentioned the portion of the hadith that's relevant to our topic, the mu'min. So he didn't include that part of the hadith, so likewise we didn't mention it. In any case, the hadith has been mentioned in various collections of hadith with various wordings, some of them different than this one. In any case, the portion that was important for us, the shahid, is that which the shaykh has mentioned, that who is the mu'min? It is the one whom the people feel safe in entrusting their wealth and their lives with. Wallahu a'lam. If there's no other question, we'll stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.